I'm Carrie.
Hey y'all, I'm Mandy.
And this is Monster. This episode contains topics and language that may not be suitable for all listeners and may be triggering for some. Listener discretion is advised. Finally here, the one time of year when shadows seem a little darker, mirrors a little deeper, and every creak in the house feels like a warning. Maybe it's the chill in the air, the flicker of a candle, or the way shadows creep just a little too long across the walls. You know, something's watching. And the one night when people decide it's a great idea to summon spirits with a game, because nothing says happy Halloween like inviting something you can't send home. Tonight, we're going to be diving into the world of paranormal games, rituals, and challenges whispered about at sleepovers, shared on internet forums, and passed down like dark folklore. Some say they're harmless party tricks, while others swear the rules open doors to something much bigger and much scarier. From quiet whispers and closets to roads that shouldn't exist, these are games that blur the lines between fear and fascination. But before we get started, there is a warning. What you're about to hear is for storytelling and folklore only. We do not recommend trying any of these games at home, because if you do, and a mirror cracks, a doll moves, or you find yourself in another dimension, don't blame us, because we warned you. People play because the thrill of the unknown is irresistible, but every thrill comes with a price. Over this episode, we'll explore six paranormal games that people everywhere dare each other to play. From summoning spirits in mirrors, to hide and seek with a haunted doll, to elevator rides that might take you somewhere you can't. Did you hear that?
I did.
I don't know who Eric is, but okay. I wonder if that's its name.
It might be.
That just might take you somewhere you can't come back from. There is a never-ending supply of these games, and whether you believe or not is entirely up to you. Each of us will be taking turns guiding you through the origins, the rules, the stories, and the warnings. So light a candle, turn off the lights, and gather close, because these are the games you should never play. Games that may just ruin your life.
Spooky!
It's Happy Friday!
Right?
And it's our spooky bonus.
Yay.
So what do you think of the intro?
I liked it. That was really good.
Yep, pretty good.
You did the damn thing.
All right, so hopefully everyone is intrigued and pulled in now. Change it up a little bit. So I know on Monday we said we were going to do a haunted lake, but honestly, we both have a ton going on, and time just kind of got away from me. So I decided instead we're going to do something a little fun, and then we'll cover the lake next week.
Nice.
Because the lake is pretty dark. So it's going to drag us down for sure. So we're going to do something fun before we have to go to that place. All right. So we have, if you did not catch that, we have our ghost tube open. We'll see what happens throughout this episode with that. Probably going to cut us off 50 million times, but...
Like last time.
Right, exactly. All right. So, Mandy, if you're comfy and ready to go, we will start off our games.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody. So, we're going to listen close. Make sure you keep a light by. Because you never know what might just be listening back to you, okay? So, I'll start us off. We're going to rotate. Everybody get ready. So for our first game, this one just kind of sets the tone for everything that's going to follow. All right. We're going to dive into the 11 mile game.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, I didn't hear of it either until this. And yeah. this is not just a game. Okay. This one will test your focus, your will, and possibly more.
Oh.
So before I tell you what to do, we have some cautions and a few things that you should not do. So first, do not have passengers. You do not make any detours or stops. You do not use the car's radio or phone. You do not for any reason exit the vehicle at any time during the ritual. You do not break the speed limit. Make sure that you maintain a very steady pace. For cautions, we have the road may not be physically real. It's a metaphysical construct that manifests under very specific conditions. Yeah. So you have to be cautious when you're engaging in the ritual because it may have some psychological effects on you, including heightened anxiety and very vivid dreams. And then lastly, be cautious of the entities that you encounter because they may be manifestations of your fears or desires.
Nice.
So we're already off to a, I'm not so sure about this one start. Okay, so to begin, you have to find the road. And this isn't a road that's marked on any kind of map. It doesn't appear on any GPS. This road, this thing just called me a failure.
Damn, ruthless today.
Right?
Shit.
God, I'm trying over here, Eric. I'm sorry. So this... Nobody knows. You're so rude.
I know. Damn.
God. Ugh. Can I continue, please? Thank you. The road will reveal itself only to those who seek it with a pure heart and deep desire. So first, obviously, you have to search for the road. You have to drive alone at night when the world is quiet and the roads are empty. As you approach a secluded area, you have to look for a road that seems to emerge from the darkness. It might be unmarked, but you'll know it's the right road when you see it. So it's just kind of one of those things like, oh, that's it. I guess it's a feeling. Now, before you enter this road, ensure your car's radio is off and that your phone is silenced. This is where the journey requires your full attention. This is where shit starts to get real. So as you start down the road, you focus on your deepest desire. This could be a question that you want answered.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay. Thank you. That was very nice of you. So this could be a question that you want to be answered, a wish that you want fulfilled, or just a longing that you've carried with you.
Please continue.
Damn.
Well, thank you. So once you have that and you're headed down the road, it's then divided into 11 miles. So each mile presenting its own challenge that you have to face. As you drive, you have to remain focused and adhere strictly to the rules. I would have already lost because I'm not going to remember. That's right. I'm already going to lose because I'm not going to remember which rule is for which mile.
Right. That's too much.
So first is mile one. Here the temperature will drop noticeably. It's permissible to turn on the car's heater, but you do not stop or deviate from the path. On mile two, the cold intensifies. If you haven't already, you should turn on the heater. The chill is a sign that you're on the right path. On mile three, shadows begin to appear in the trees. They may resemble human figures, but do not acknowledge them. You have to keep your eyes on the road. Then mile four, whispers may be heard, seemingly coming from nowhere. You have to ignore them. You do not engage with any voices or sounds that you hear. Yep, I feel like that's where it would get me. Because I'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
Next is mile five. The environment here may begin to change. Trees might appear different. The landscape may shift subtly. Do not be alarmed. You continue driving. On mile six, your car radio may turn on by itself, playing static or unsettling noises. You have to turn it off immediately without any hesitation.
I think that's kind of demanding.
Right. On mile 7, voices may emanate from the back seat. You cannot look back. You have to solely focus on the road ahead. I feel like if I hear voices in my backseat, I'm going to turn around.
Yeah, that's your first instinct. It'd be hard not to.
Right. Okay, so on mile 8, the road may become more treacherous. Headlights may flicker. The air may grow colder. You cannot stop or slow down. Then on mile 9, the car may stall. You have to close your eyes tightly and attempt to restart the engine. You do not open your eyes until the car starts moving again.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Right. On mile 10, the voices may stop, but they might not. You still do not look in the rearview mirror. The entities may be following you, and acknowledging them could have consequences.
Mm.
Yeah. On mile 11, your vehicle may lose power, but continue to move.
That's creepy.
Right? A red light may appear ahead of you. You close your eyes tightly and cover them if necessary. The sounds around you might become overwhelming, but you do not open your eyes until instructed. So after completing the 11... I'm sorry? Did you hear it?
Mm-mm.
He said it's cold.
Mm.
I'm sorry, Eric. Put on a sweater. I don't know.
Right.
That was mean. I'm sorry. So after completing the 11 miles, your vehicle may come to a stop at a dead end. Do not attempt to turn around and do not retrace your steps. So once this happens, you close your eyes and you'll focus on your initial desire or wish. Visualize it as vividly as possible. Then you're going to open your eyes. If your wish was material, you're going to check your car for its manifestation. If it was non-material, observe changes in your life over the, you know, the next few days. So the 11-mile game isn't about winning. It's about surrendering your control, testing courage, and facing the unknown. It's solitary, it's tense, and if you do it, it will haunt you in ways that you don't expect.
Mm.
And that's the 11-mile.
I've never heard of that one.
Me neither. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a different one.
Yeah, like it doesn't seem like anything really, like nothing really happens. Like there's not really, it doesn't say like what the consequences are. But I think it's just one of those that like messes with your head. You know what I mean?
Right.
Creepy.
Ooh. Let's see what the next one is. Dang it, I just had it pulled up. Okay, are we ready?
Yep, ready.
Okay, my first game tonight is called Charlotte's Web. It's a mirror ritual that invites...
Nope!
They must know that one. Well, okay then. It's a mirror ritual that invites a spirit into your presence. It's a test of courage, focus, respect for the unknown. Welcome to the second ritual of our journey tonight, Charlotte's Web. This game is a mirror-based summoning ritual that invites a spirit named Charlotte into your presence. Yeah, I'm good on that. It's a test, a test of courage, focus, and respect for the unknown. So I'm going to tell you a few things that you need to know before you play this game. Do not use candles or open flames. Charlotte's mother was burned at the stake, and she dislikes fire. Well, yeah, I bet.
Right.
Do not turn around or look away from the mirror. Doing so may provoke Charlotte and lead to unpredictable consequences. Do not play this game more than once. Repeated attempts may draw Charlotte's attention permanently. So like if you do it more than once, ooh, like stuck with her.
Ooh, no, thank you.
I know. Do not play if you are feeling fearful or anxious. Charlotte can sense fear and may not appear if you are afraid.
I feel like anybody would be anxious, but okay.
I mean, you would think so, and you would think you would have some kind of fear, like fear of the unknown.
Right.
So to begin, you'll need to gather the following items. Several flashlights, but no candles or open flames. A child's toy, something you believe Charlotte might enjoy. And this is considered an offering to her. Two chairs.
I don't know this little girl. How am I supposed to know what she likes?
Right. I don't know. You better give her some kind of offering. That's all I know. You will also need two chairs positioned facing the same direction about 2 feet apart. A small table placed behind the chairs within view of the mirror. A mirror large enough to reflect the chairs and table. Choose a room that is as dark as possible. Preferably, it should be windowless. If that's not possible, cover the windows completely to block out any light. The ritual requires complete darkness to be effective. That's kind of spooky.
I don't know how I feel about that, right?
Okay, this is what you need to do to set it all up. Arrange the chairs. Place them next to each other, facing the same direction, with about 2 feet of space between them. Position the table. Place it behind the chairs, ensuring it's visible in the mirror when seated. Place the toy. You have to set it on the table, positioned so it can be seen in the mirror. So to place the mirror, you need to position it in front of the chairs, angled so that both participants can see the table and toy in the reflection. Then you turn on the flashlights. You ensure they are positioned to illuminate the area without causing glare on the mirror. Dim the room
light. How do you do that?
I don't know. Like, I think this is a lot of shit you have to do for this game.
Right.
So you dim the room lights, turn off all lights, leaving only the flashlight on. Like, that's a lot of stuff you have to do.
Right. Like, you were asking way too much just to see some little girl's ghost.
And then if you don't see it, I feel like I'd be pissed.
Right. Me too. I'm going to be mad. I just did all this for nothing. And then right. I can't do it again.
Right. Yeah. That, if you don't see her, I would feel like you would want to do it again.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh, I must have done something wrong. Let me try again.
Yeah. Okay.
No, thank
you. So now you can start. Both participants should sit down facing the mirror. Look directly into the reflection, focusing on the toy. Together, in unison, say, "We want to play Charlotte's Web." Wait and watch. Keep your eyes fixed on the mirror. Do not turn around or look away. Then watch for Charlotte. If she is pleased with your offering, she will take the toy. If she does not take it, she is displeased and you must end the game immediately. So I feel like
if I see a little girl in a mirror, I'm going to want to turn around.
Right. Because I want to see if the bitch is behind me.
Right.
Like, I'm good on that. So now, if she accepts the toy, you may take turns asking her questions. Do not turn around or look away from the mirror. When you wish to conclude, together in unison, say, "Goodbye, Charlotte." Wait for her to leave. She will slowly wander out of view in the mirror, taking the toy with her. Only once she is completely gone, you may turn around and look behind you. You turn on the lights in the room and in the ritual. But if she does not accept the toy and she is not happy, do not attempt to communicate further with her. In the game immediately, together in unison, say, "Goodbye, Charlotte." She will slowly wander out of view of the mirror. Only once she is completely gone, you may turn around and look behind you. Then you turn on the lights in the room and you end the ritual. So,
I'm good.
Yeah. So, participants have reported various experiences. Oh, damn. Both during and after the ritual. Some of them are feelings of being watched even when alone. Unexplained noises. They have said to hear footsteps or whispers when no one is present. Seeing fleeting shadows or movements in vision. A lingering sense of discomfort or anxiety.
Oh!
What?
Eric called you a hag.
Damn, Eric must have played this game.
These, he must have.
I know. These effects make... Damn, quit interrupting. These effects may vary depending on the individual and the environment in which the ritual is performed. Charlotte's Web is not just a game. It's an invitation into the unknown. It tests your courage, your focus, and your respect for the unseen. Approach with caution, and remember, some games are best left unplayed. I don't think I would play that.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is one that should be left unplayed. Just saying.
Yeah, I think there's too much to it. Then if you don't see it, I think you would be pissed off and want to play it again. And then I would be mad if that heifer didn't take the toy that I was giving her.
Right? Like, my toy's not good enough for you?
Yeah, like, take what you get, my girl.
Right, exactly. What are you going to do with a toy when you're dead anyway?
Right. Can you even pick it up?
I don't know.
It's triggering.
You're triggering.
Your story is triggering Eric.
Well, Eric triggered me by not being quiet so I could tell it.
Be nice, Eric.
Right. Rude?
Okay. My second game is called Sweet Tooth.
Ooh.
This one is a ritual that tests silence, patience, and of course, respect for the unknown. Mm. In this one, every sound and movement matters. So this game is of Russian origin. It's a ritual that invites a gnome to emerge from a mirror to partake in your chocolate.
Ooh, I like gnomes.
Well, you might not like them after this.
Oh, okay.
We, of course, have some things that you should be cautious of. So you must remember, silence is paramount. Any noise louder than a whisper might disrupt the ritual and lead to unintended consequences. Mm. There must be no interruptions. If someone does not wish to participate, they must leave the room until the game concludes. You must respect the gnome, because disrespecting the gnome or the ritual may result in some negative outcomes, such as the gnome following you home or causing disturbances.
Hmm.
Lastly, do not repeat the ritual. So here's another one.
Right.
One and done. Engaging in the game more than once may invite unwanted attention from the gnome, which includes being bitten. The gnome could escape and remain inside your home, biting on your toes while you sleep.
Oh.
Or it could just simply eat your toes.
Foot fetish. Fucking weird.
So before you begin, you need the following items. A bar of chocolate, preferably one that you yourself enjoy. A mirror small enough to be placed on the floor. A length of string or thin thread long enough so that way it can suspend the chocolate above the mirror. A pair of scissors. And then a dark room.
Hmm.
Because this game has to be played in complete darkness.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Right. So once you have all your supplies, you're aware of your precautions that you should take. You're going to get into how you set it up. So first, you place the mirror. You position it onto the floor directly beneath a light source, such as like a ceiling light with the reflective side facing up. Then you prepare your chocolate. You tie one end of the string around the bar of chocolate. Then you suspend it by attaching the other end of the string to the light fixture. This ensures that the chocolate hangs directly above the mirror, but does not touch it. Well, I'm
crying.
Okay, Mandy's listening. She's not crying. Are you crying? Okay, well, he thinks about that. So you hang it above it, but don't actually touch the mirror.
Right.
So now you have to arrange everyone that's going to play. All players have to sit in a circle around the mirror, ensuring that they are within the dark room. No light at all. Now you're going to begin. First, you have to pick a designated person. So one person is going to hold the scissors and be prepared to cut the string, but you don't cut the string yet. Then you turn off all the lights. Then this person, after turning off all the lights, quickly rejoins the circle. The designated person should cut the string, which allows the chocolate to fall onto the mirror. Then you chant the invitation. All participants should silently chant three times, sweet tooth, please come. So you have to silently say that three separate times. No, thank you. Then you have to sit there in silence. You just sit there, still, dark, silent room. No noise, nothing, because it'll mess the whole thing up. Yep. So now you have to listen for signs. After a period of waiting, which I could not find anything that says like how long you're supposed to wait. How long you're supposed to wait. But after some time, you may start to hear rustling sounds. This indicates that the gnome's presence is there and it has began to unwrap the chocolate. So after you've done this whole waiting thing, a few things could happen. First, the gnome eats all the chocolate. This is a positive sign, indicating that the ritual was successful. Can you hear? Yes, I can hear. I don't know if we can be friends, Eric. You keep interrupting.
I know, rude.
So if the chocolate is still there, but there are bite marks present on the chocolate, it suggests that the gnome had tasted it, but didn't completely eat it. Like, thank you, but no thank you. Sometimes the gnome will actually leave more chocolate than what you left. If the gnome leaves you more chocolate as like a gift, this is like an omen, suggesting that the gnome has granted you a wish or a favor. So no matter which one of these three happen, all three mean that you've won. Now, if you lose the game, then that means that the gnome has escaped the mirror and now will live with you forever, nibbling on your toes every night.
No.
Yep. So Sweet Tooth is not just a game. It's an invitation into the unknown. It tests your patience, your silence, and your respect for the unseen. Approach it with caution, though, and remember, again, some games should just not be played.
Right. So
I suggest maybe this spooky season just avoid all gnomes and chocolate.
Yeah, I would say so.
No, thank you.
Right.
I don't want a gnome fucking chewing on my toes while I'm asleep. I'm good.
Yeah, that's weird, dude.
Yeah. Ooh. Bet you'll never look at Gnomeo and Juliet the same, huh?
No. Yeah. Okay, so the next one's going to be White Kimono. I haven't heard of this one either.
Me neither.
Okay, so this is the White Kimono game. It's a ritual where calm and focused are your only allies. Okay, the spirit you invite may appear in your dreams or at the edge of your vision. I don't know about all that.
7.
Right.
Always got something to say when I start doing mine.
I know.
Okay, so welcome to the fourth ritual of our journey. The White Kimono game. This is a Japanese origin ritual that summons the spirit of a woman in a blood-stained white kimono. See, that's pretty itself, right? Typically appearing in dreams. The ritual is performed late at night and requires precise adherence to rules to avoid unintended consequences. So not starting off to a great start.
No, definitely not.
So to begin, you will need a traditional Japanese style room or as close that you can get to it as possible.
Because I just got one of those laying around.
Right. And I don't know if I'm saying this word right. With a tatami? Tatami? I don't know how to say that. Or a clear floor space. A white kimono or cloth represents the spirit. A quiet environment. The ritual must be performed between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. That's when the spirit is most active. Okay, you need personal calm and focus. This ritual requires a steady mind and minimal fear.
See, shit, bitch, I done lost.
Right. Like, all these are talking about no fear. Okay, now to what you'll need to set everything up. Position the white kimono, lay it carefully on the floor or hang it so it is clearly visible in the dim light. Turn off all artificial lights. If necessary, use a soft indirect light to see the space. Remove all obstacles to ensure a safe, uninterrupted ritual space. Prepare mentally. So you need to sit quietly and focus on the ritual, calming your mind and preparing for the spirit's appearance. So to perform the ritual, begin at 2 a.m. The timing is critical. The ritual must start precisely between 2 and 3 a.m. Focus on the kimono. Gaze at the white cloth, visualizing the spirit that the ritual will summon. Recite the incantation. Traditionally, this may involve silently chanting a phrase such as, I invite the one in white. You have to say the exact words. Okay, now close your eyes and breathe deeply.
Oh, Eric said maybe.
See, you're not helping at all, Eric. Close your eyes and breathe deeply. Maintain focus on the spirit's presence. Then you're going.
I can't hear you.
Can. Yes, you can. Rude. Damn. Ugh. Okay. Then you're going to go to sleep. What? The spirit may appear in.
How are you going to go to, like, I don't mean to cut you off. How are you going to go to sleep after all that?
Right. Knowing that they're going to pop up in your dreams.
Right.
So it says.
What is happening?
The spirit may appear in dreams or as a shadowy figure in the room. A woman in a kimono covered in blood will appear in your dreams. See, that's creepy.
No, okay. Thank you.
I know. When you wake up, if you don't see the black shadow of a woman in any of the corners in your room, that means you are safe. But if you do see something, we warned you not to play this one. See, that's a double-edged sword. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I don't know if I would want to see her or not see her.
So I know. So here's some important things if you do decide to play and go through with it. If a woman comes close to you, you must absolutely never speak to her. The woman may ask for your name, but you absolutely never answer. If the woman begins to mutter something in your right ear, shake your head. This should make you wake up.
So okay. You're like lucid dreaming?
That's the way I'm taking it. I don't know.
I'm going.
Well, then go, Eric.
Okay, Eric. Bye.
Yeah, so here's some warnings and precautions. Do not perform outside the 2 to 3 a.m. window. The spirit is only active during this time. And do not fear the spirit. Fear may attract negative energy. Just calm your focus, which I think would be hard.
Right.
Do not use fire or bright lights. Sudden changes in the light can disrupt the ritual and anger the spirit. Do not repeat excessively. Performing this ritual repeatedly may lead to persistent hauntings.
Ooh.
Ensure the space is clear to prevent accidents in the dark. Like, I don't know. Participants that have participated in this ritual say, appearance in the dreams. The spirit often manifests in dreams, observing silently and interacting subtly. Shadow sightings. Some have seen a figure in the white moving in the edge of their vision. Chills and cold sensations, a sudden drop in temperature and that may accompany from the ritual. Psychological impact, participants may feel uneasy, anxiety, heightened alertness in the days following the ritual. The white kimono game is not merely a game. It is a journey into the liminal space between sleep and wakefulness. Approach to this caution and respect. The ritual tests focus, calmness, and the ability to confront the unknown in the quietest hours of the night. Maybe not okay this one. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what that was about, but I think this is a no-go for me.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, because like...
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know, because it feels like you're just going to be haunted no matter what you do.
Right. Because I feel like if you didn't see that, then they're still in your head, and like they're just going to haunt you in your dreams. But then if you see it after you wake up, then they're just going to haunt you in real life.
Yeah, so I don't know. That was a different one. I've never heard of, well, I haven't heard of any of them so far.
Yeah, me neither. No, I'm good.
I'll stick to Bloody Mary.
Right. Okay, so my last one, I had kind of heard it like in bits and pieces, but I'd never heard like the whole thing.
Right.
So this one is called One Man Hide and Seek. So in this one, a doll becomes a spirit.
Ooh, Annabelle.
Sort of. And the doll is seeking you.
Chucky.
Mm-hmm. So this one is dangerous, and you have to be very, very careful and follow every single rule to the T. Yep. Just like your last one, this one comes from Japan. So we already know this is about to be fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a ritual in which a doll is transformed into a spirit that quote-unquote plays hide and seek with one single person. It is considered one of the more dangerous paranormal games and must be performed with precision and respect, as of course all of these should be. So of course, as anybody can expect, we have some warnings and cautions for you before we get into it. So first, you do not leave the doll unattended because the spirit may move unpredictably. Do not panic. Fear can intensify the paranormal activity. I feel like this is a stupid one. Like, how is that not going to happen? Anyway, do not attempt the ritual alone if inexperienced. Only those who fully understand the process and, you know, how all this shit goes, should even attempt it. You must respect the doll and the spirit. Any kind of disrespect could result in prolonged hauntings or poltergeist-like activity. Participants could experience heightened anxiety, nightmares, or feelings of being watched for days after performing the ritual.
Mm-mm.
So now to begin, right? No, thank you. So now to begin, you need the following items. A doll, preferably small and human-like, that can sit upright. You're going to need rice, enough to fill the doll's body, because rice is believed to attract and anchor the spirit. A small piece of your own clothing. This is used to personalize the doll and connect it to you. A needle and thread, so you can sew the doll closed after you've stuffed it with rice. You're going to need salt for protection. And then a quiet room, preferably at night with all
None.
The... Eric, we need to talk about your rudeness.
Right?
Preferably at night with all doors and windows closed. So, it's already not looking so good. So, to set up, first you have to prepare the doll. You're going to remove all the stuffing from the doll, replace that with rice, and then add in that small piece of your own clothing to the inside of the doll. Then you're going to use the needle and thread and sew the doll back shut. Next, you need to protect the space. So you're going to sprinkle salt in a line around the room to prevent the spirit from being able to leave the designated area. Now you're going to mark your boundaries. You choose a clear area where you will play hide and seek with the doll. You need to ensure that there are no obstacles that you can trip over in the dark. So now your ritual begins. You hold the doll and you say clearly, I invite you to play hide and seek with me. Place it to where it can move freely. Now, I forgot to mention this in the things that you need. Sorry. You're going to need like a blunt or ceremonial knife. You're going to need that. This is
placed nearby. It's part of the ritual to symbolically end the game safely if you need to. So then you're going to close your eyes and count slowly to 10. Once finished, you open your eyes, you begin the game, and you start searching for the doll. You must follow the rules. These include: do not leave the room, do not open doors or windows, and do not attempt to destroy the doll during the game.
I can't say.
I didn't ask you a question, Eric. You're being obnoxiously rude right now. So the game will continue until the doll is found or the ritual is concluded. So in order to safely end this, obviously you find the doll. Once you locate the doll, you stab it lightly with a ceremonial knife to seal the spirit inside the doll. Then you perform a protective ritual. You sprinkle the salt over the doll to neutralize the spirit. Lastly, you dispose of the doll. So you seal it in a container, place it into a secure location away from living spaces, and then follow, you know, whatever your cultural guidance for proper disposal is. Participants that have partaken in this one have reported a drop in temperature in the ritual area, sounds like whispers and giggles that seem to come from the doll, the doll appearing in different places that it was not previously in, or even seeing shadows, along with a lingering unease that seems to be both emotional and psychological after the ritual has ended.
Yeah, that's idiotic. What do you say?
He said idiotic. I think he said it just right.
Yeah, that's what I thought he said. Well played, my guy.
Right. You got it right. Okay, so now if the game is not ended correctly.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Awesome. If the game is not ended correctly, the following consequences may occur. The haunting continues, so the doll stays possessed and the spirit continues to search indefinitely. You could have physical harm, so legends suggest that the possibility of being stabbed as the doll begins to play with the sharp object, like now the doll is seeking you.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. possession. The spirit may possess the player as it was summoned to find a host. So it may, instead of going into the doll, it may go into you.
Mm-mm.
This game could also cause the player to just disappear or even be driven to suicide.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Then it said if you fail to find the doll at all, so if you don't find the doll, you can't properly end the game. If that happens, the spirit you summoned is permanently unleashed. And since the game is supposed to be played alone, the spirit will focus all of its attention on you, leading to some type of supernatural haunting or worse.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm. So one man hide and seek is not simply a game. It is a confrontation with the unknown. The ritual tests courage, composure, and respect. It is a powerful and dangerous experience, and only those prepared to follow every single rule precisely should ever attempt it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm good on that.
Yeah, I don't think I ever want another doll in my house. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, me neither.
No, thank you. Even Eric didn't like that one.
I know, right? So... For the last one, we have the closet game. Ooh. It's a paranormal ritual that tests courage, focus, composure, and total darkness, which I feel like a lot of them have been like that.
Right. So, I'm sensing a theme here.
I know. So what you experience may linger long after the lights come back on. This is, ooh, a paranormal witch ritual. Damn.
Ooh.
He's watching. This is a paranormal ritual designed to test courage, focus, composure, like I said, in total darkness. It is considered highly suspenseful and should be performed with extreme caution. So what you will need to do this is a small enclosed closet or cupboard, dark and quiet, with a door that can close completely, a candle or flashlight used to begin the ritual, but it must be extinguished once the ritual starts. A piece of paper and a pen, optional, for writing down a question or desire to focus on during the ritual. A timer or clock to track the duration of the ritual. Personal, calm, and focus. Participants must be prepared mentally, emotionally, as fear can amplify, dang, I can't say it, experience. Okay, so here's what you need to do. First, choose your closet. What did he say?
Medicine.
The hell do you need medicine for this? Rude.
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to need something to chill my ass out in a dark closet. So yeah. Maybe that's what he needs.
Maybe a Xanax.
Right. Okay.
So first, choose your closet. Ensure the space is clear of obstacles to prevent injury in the dark. Now you need to prepare the ritual space. You'll place the candle or flashlight inside temporarily to illuminate the closet. Now you write down your personal question or desire on a piece of paper and hold it with you. Now, to start this whole thing, you first are going to step inside the closet and close the door completely. Once inside, turn off the flashlight or the candle. You need complete darkness for this. Now you're going to
concentrate. I feel like that is a fire risk.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I don't think it's too smart.
No, definitely not.
Okay. He told me.
What?
Somebody told Eric something.
Oh, nobody cares. Eric's being rude. Okay, so once you're inside, turn off the flashlight, blow out, or if you have a candle, blow it out. Completely dark. Now you're going to concentrate. Did I read this already? Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
I don't know. I cut you off, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. So when you go in, you concentrate on your question or desire, and you maintain stillness and silence. Slow, yes. Very slow. Okay. Allow yourself to remain in the closet for 2 minutes facing the door. Once the time is up, hold a match in front of you and say the following. Show me the light or leave me in darkness. Then you have to listen very carefully. If you start to hear faint whispering, immediately light the match. What the hell? If you don't hear anything and the match doesn't ignite on its own, then do not turn around. If you do, you will feel something grab you and pull you into eternal darkness and never return. Like, I'm good.
The fuck?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a wrap note. Okay, keep the match lit. If it accidentally goes out, immediately light another one. Leave the closet and close the door behind you. Do not look into the closet. From now on, you must always have a light on when you look inside the closet. If you leave the closet door open at night with the lights off, you will see the demon watching you with two red eyes that glow like matches. Yeah, so I feel like there's no escaping this.
Right. Like, no matter what you do, you're screwed.
So, like all the other games, this one comes with warning and precautions. Do not rush. Entering or exiting the ritual space too quickly may disrupt the process. Do not repeat excessively. Repeated attempts can lead to heightened psychological effects or lingering paranormal activity. Ensure your safety. Make sure the closet is free from objects that could injure you in the dark, obviously.
What is going to injure? It's a closet.
I know, girl. I don't know. Maybe you get spooked in a hanger hit. I don't know. Okay, so fear amplifies the effect, like all the other ones. You need to remain calm. Panic may provoke unwanted experiences. Do not attempt alone. Only perform the ritual if you are mentally and emotionally prepared. Do not attempt alone if inexperienced. Oh, okay. So, do not panic. Remain calm throughout the ritual as fear can intensify it. So this is what people that have played the game reported. Auditory phenomena, such as whispering voices, soft knocks or footsteps, sudden chills or warmth in specific areas, shadows or fleeting images at the edge of perception, heightened anxiety, lingering unease, or a sense of being watched.
Ooh.
Right. So the closet game is not merely a test of courage. It is an exercise in composure, focus, and self-discipline. Darkness amplifies the mind's perception, and the ritual challenges participants to confront the unknown safely and respectfully. Approach it with a caution, and remember, the power of the game lies as much in your mind as the unseen. This is the closet game. Now you can take a deep breath and settle in. Our journey through the night's paranormal games is over.
I'm good. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm claustrophobic, so I'm not finna lock myself in a damn closet anyway.
I'm not claustrophobic, but I still wouldn't lock myself in a closet.
Yeah, I think I'm good. I don't know. These are...
Right. No, thank you. I don't know. No, thanks. You won't catch me playing these.
No.
Nope, I'm good. All right. So, just like that, we've reached the end of our journey through the dark and twisted world of paranormal games. Isabel, she's like obnoxiously drinking her water.
I can hear her.
I feel like she's doing it on purpose.
She might be.
She keeps looking up at me.
She is.
Are you done? Nope. Isabel. Come on. She looked at me like, bitch, what?
No. Like I'm drinking here.
Sacrifice.
Oh, we're... Oh. No!
Yeah.
No! You're getting a little too crazy over here, Eric. Calm down.
Right?
All right. Just like that, we've reached the end of our journey through the dark and twisted world of paranormal games. From the lonely roads of the 11-mile game, to mirrors that may reflect more than just your own face, to dolls that move on their own, to shadows in closets, and to white spirits in white kimonos. We've explored games that are whispered about, feared, and sometimes played. Remember, these aren't just stories. They're rituals rooted in folklore and urban legend, each with rules, warnings and consequences that people have reported for decades. The line between thrill and danger is razor thin, and these games aren't something to take lightly. Some say it's the curiosity that draws people in. Others say it's fear. And perhaps in the quiet moments after the lights go out and the wind rattles the windows, it's a little bit of both. Whether you choose to believe in them, dismiss them, or simply enjoy the stories, remember this. The unknown is always closer than it seems. The games we've covered tonight are not just entertainment. They're a reminder that some doors, once opened, can't be easily closed. So we'll be back sometime this spooky season for another round of these games, diving even deeper into the rituals, stories, and warnings that make people dare each other to play them. So as you blow out your candles, lock your doors, and settle in for the rest of the night, keep your eyes on the shadows, and maybe, just maybe, think twice before you play.
Yeah, we need to do some more like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a whole list. I can't remember if I showed it to you or not, but I've got a whole list.
No, I don't think you did.
A lot of them I've never heard of. I'll send you a picture.
I've never heard of any of these.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture of it. Got a whole list.
All right.
Yep. It'll be fun.
It will be.
Yep, we'll do like a volume 2.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe next time Eric won't be so rude.
I know. Asshole.
He's just, I don't know. He didn't do it as bad as last time we tried to record with Eric, so.
Yeah, he did.
Maybe he's getting used to it.
Hopefully.
Last time we had to just turn him off.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it, guys, for this week. Before you decide if you're going to play any of these or not, make sure you subscribe. Leave us a rate and a review. If you have any spooky game suggestions or experiences with your own spooky games, email those to us. You can find our Facebook link and email in the episode description. You can also send us a message on Facebook if you want to do it that way. We're also on TikTok. So, guys, we hope you keep listening. And remember to
watch for monsters.
And don't kill people. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Wouldn't that be some shit if Eric was like, bye, y'all?
That would be fucking crazy, dude.
I would be like, oh, Eric.